In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again this week, as we did last week, about the two selves, which are so clearly defined in Ephesians 4 and in Colossians 3. There are some very stark contrasts that the Bible delineates between the old self that we're to get rid of and the new self, which is to be made in the image of Christ. Put your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. I recommended last Friday a book called Stepping Heavenward by Elizabeth Prentice, a book written about 100 years ago. And it's a lovely example, very practical down-to-earth example, of what we mean by putting away the old self. And I read a part of my introduction to one of the editions of Stepping Heavenward. When little Ernest is born, this book is a diary of a young woman whom we follow through her engagement and marriage and motherhood. And when her little boy Ernest is born, she finds that he has a passionate temper and a good deal of self-will along with fine qualities. "I wish he had a better mother," she says. "I am so impatient with him when he is wayward and perverse. Next to being a perfect wife, I want to be a perfect mother." How mortifying, how dreadful in all things to come short of one's standards. Having in-laws living with the family is another opportunity for her to step heavenward, receiving grace to help as grace is needed. Well, that's from my foreword. Now let me read you the first two pages of this diary. January 15th, 1831. How dreadfully old I'm getting, 16. Well, I don't see as I can help it. There it is in the big Bible in Father's own hand, Catherine, born January 15th, 1815. I meant to get up early this morning, but it looked dismally cold out of doors and felt delightfully warm in bed, so I covered myself up and made ever so many good resolutions. I determined in the first place to begin this journal. To be sure, I have begun half a dozen and got tired of them after a while. Not tired of writing them, but disgusted with what I had to say of myself. But this time I mean to go on, in spite of everything. It will do me good to read it over and see what a creature I am. Then I resolved to do more to please Mother than I have done, and I determined to make one more effort to conquer my hasty temper. I thought, too, I would be self-denying this winter, like the people one reads about in books. I fancied how surprised and pleased everybody would be to see me so much improved. Time passed quickly amid these agreeable thoughts, and I was quite startled to hear the bell ring for prayers. I jumped up in a great flurry and dressed as quickly as I could. Everything conspired together to plague me. I could not find a clean collar or a handkerchief. It is always just so. Susan is forever poking my things into out-of-the-way places. When at last I went down, they were all at breakfast. "I hoped you would celebrate your birthday, dear, by coming down in good season," said Mother. I do hate to be found fault with, so I fired up in an instant. "If people hide my things so that I can't find them, of course I have to be late," I said. And I rather think I said it in a very cross way, for Mother sighed a little. I wish Mother wouldn't sigh. I would rather be called names out and out. The moment breakfast was over, I had to hurry off to school. Just as I was going out, Mother said, "Have you your overshoes, dear?" "Oh, Mother, don't hinder me. I shall be late," I said. "I don't need overshoes." "It snowed all night, and I think you do need them," Mother said. "I don't know where they are. I hate overshoes. Do let me go, Mother," I cried. "I do wish I could ever have my own way." "You shall have it now, my child," Mother said, and went away. Now, what was the use of her calling me my child in such a tone, I should like to know? What an illustration this is of putting away the old self and putting on the new. as this girl who calls herself Catherine says, she meant to get up early. She felt delightfully warm in bed. She made good resolutions. She determined to begin a journal, but she got tired of it. She got disgusted. Then she made a resolve to please her mother, and she determined to make one more effort to conquer her hasty temper. And what happens? Before she's even left for school, she has been plagued by not being able to find a clean collar and a handkerchief. So we see just how painfully our high spiritual resolves cut into the old self. The resolve to get up early indicates the new self. It was dismally cold, so the old self said, stay in bed. The resolution to please her mother, what happened to that? She was late to breakfast. Then when her mother remarked about it and said, I hoped you would celebrate your birthday, dear, by coming down in good season, she immediately finds fault with somebody else. Events reveal the will of God. Do you realize that? It is the things that happen in our lives that reveal the will of God, and it is in those things that we have the choice between the old self and the new self. It was a cold morning. That was the will of God. She couldn't find her collar and her handkerchief. Do you think that was the will of God? Yes, I do. I really do. Because the little girl says, little, she was 16 years old, she says, these things conspired to plague me. Well, they were giving her the opportunity to learn patience, to learn not to blame her sister Susan because she couldn't find the collar and the handkerchief. And then when her mother mentions her lateness to breakfast, she blames it on Susan, and she speaks in a very cross tone. And her mother's sigh, she responds to by saying, I wish mother wouldn't sigh. And then when her mother tells her that she really ought to wear her overshoes, and you probably have never even heard the word overshoes, have you? Most of you younger ones, we used to wear something called rubbers or overshoes that went on over your shoes. And the worst things were galoshes, great high boots that had the most impossible metal clasps on them. And those clasps would get frozen in the snow, and we'd have a terrible time getting them off. I can just still remember how it hurt my cold fingers to try to get those galoshes off when I got to school. And I used to argue with my mother, too, about whether I really needed the rubbers or the galoshes. And her mother was so gentle. She says, it snowed all night, and I think you do need them. I don't know where they are. I hate overshoes. I do wish I could have my own way. And so, in this case, her mother says, you shall have it now, my child. I'm sure her mother realized that the child was going to be sorry that she had not obeyed her mother, because she was going to find that the snow was going to give her wet feet. Well, events reveal the will of God. The cold weather, the lost collars, the handkerchiefs, the resolutions to please mother, the lateness. None of this comes easily. None of these lessons. And in Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14, we read this. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Do those things come naturally to you? Kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, peace, thankfulness. They don't come naturally to me. None of it comes to any of us by nature. Those are supernatural qualities. How do we get them? By surrender, by choosing to put away the old nature, by confessing immediately, Lord, that was an angry tone. That was a sign of impatience. That was a silly question, an irritating question that I asked Lars. Submission, confession, a readiness to be taught and corrected and criticized and perfected. Are you ready to be taught and corrected, criticized and perfected? God's messengers are usually human beings. That's tough on us, isn't it? We think we could take them from God, or from an angel, or from a book, but from somebody we know, but from somebody we have to live with? He generally speaks through plain folks, doesn't he? Catherine's messenger from God was her sister Susan, losing those collars and handkerchiefs. Now, you sisters don't go losing your other sisters' things in order to teach them spiritual lessons. That's not your job. That's God's job. But our failures are opportunities to be patient. The failures of those we love and those we live with are our opportunities to be patient. These were family members to whose testings Catherine's ears were completely closed. Most of us would love to be truly good, truly spiritual, truly godly, so long as we have the perfect teacher himself, the Lord of heaven, the still small voice and the Holy Spirit. But what is my response to the divinely chosen messenger who happens to be my husband, my wife, my brother, sister, co-worker, my boss, my neighbor? Note that Susan, forever poking things in out-of-the-way places, was God's messenger to Catherine as well as her mother. God's storms, as well as his sunshine, are our instructors, the classrooms of our sanctification.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.